You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast with host Fifi Peters.
At one stage during the riots, there was a possibility that fuel companies like BP and Shell would not be able to deliver petrol to garages. And thus they declared what is known as a force majeure, which is a state of not being able to fulfill a contract due to circumstances beyond your control. But to look at the legal dynamics of a force majeure, I'm joined by Michael Strowley, a partner at Weber Wentzel. Michael, thanks so much for joining the show. So what is the purpose of a force majeure clause in one's contract?
Thanks, Fifi. Often one of force majeure or acts of God, as they've also been called, with sort of natural disasters. That concept, however, covers a wide range of events, including wars, insurrection, sabotage, and public riots. Force majeure is a contractual concept. These clauses exist to protect a party to a contract from an event beyond the control of that party, which then prevents the party from performing its obligations. This can either be fully or partially, as it would normally be required to do in terms of the agreement. And parties are able to agree to have certain events specifically regarded as force majeure events under the contract. So it's quite important when contracting that attention is paid to the wording of the force majeure clause to determine whether a qualifying event has occurred, to establish a link between the event in question and the actual or potential non-performance under the contract.
Which brings me to my next question about whether it is a given that each contract will have a force majeure clause in it, or is it up to the business themselves to make sure that they take proactive steps in ensuring it's there?
I would suggest that a business take proactive steps to ensure it's there. If a contract doesn't have a force majeure clause, a party can rely on the common law position, which is, it's similar to the force majeure clause in many respects. It's known as supervening impossibility. And that arises where a party is prevented from performing its contract by irresistible force or unforeseeable accident. So this would cover any events that are unforeseeable with reasonable foresight and unavoidable with reasonable care. And if a party can show that, it will be discharged from further performing under its agreement, while the other party, their right to claim further performance would also be extinguished. But practically speaking, a contractual right is generally better to rely on than a common law right.
Because we did see some fuel companies declare a force majeure during the riots and some exporters also. So does it go without say that all companies can potentially absolve themselves from fulfilling the terms of their contract because of the recent riots in South Africa?
What you need to do is carefully consider the facts. So the first step would be to consider the specific wording of the force majeure clause. And in the examples you give, I assume that those contracts had those clauses in them. A comprehensive force majeure clause has a variety of events or circumstances that it lists, and public riots are generally covered in these clauses. The second step would be to establish the facts. Force majeure is only available if the event has actually taken place or has caused or is about to cause a default. And the obligation is an objective. It must be viewed from an objective perspective, not from a subjective perspective. So, for example, just because it's uneconomical to do something doesn't mean that that qualifies as a force majeure. And thirdly, a party seeking to rely on the force majeure clause will most likely be required to give notice to the other side. And that's normally within a certain period of time. It's often 24 to 48 hours. And if that's not done, then you may not be able to rely on the clause at all. And then finally, and I've alluded to already, there might be certain exclusions. So if it's simply a question that it's now becoming more difficult or more expensive for you to do something, that is almost always not a force majeure. So for example, if you ordinarily have use of a rail network and that gives you a good price on your product, but now you have to make use of big trucks and those are more expensive, you wouldn't be able to rely on force majeure in that circumstance.
So in that event where your client does reject your, you know, defaulting onto the force majeure clause, does that mean that you are liable to, you know, make good on your promise to deliver whatever it is that you're involved in, or you're liable for the cost of not delivering?
So again, it's very contract specific. So if there's a dispute around whether or not there's a force majeure, then usually that does end up in court or in arbitration proceedings where the parties then go around the niceties of whether or not there was in fact objective inability to perform. It might be that the contract specifies that if a force majeure event has taken place, that there could be step-in rights by another party. So I'm unable to deliver fuel to you, but someone else is able to deliver fuel. In that situation, the party who I normally deliver fuel to can go to that party to have them deliver fuel to them. So it often provides for that so that you mitigate the damage that might take place. Another thing that often these contracts provide for is that if a force majeure event has continued for quite a long time, usually 12 to 24 months, that either party can then terminate it. And that's generally more relevant in sort of the context of the COVID-19 pandemic, which has been ongoing for some time. And it might well be that certain contracts are now terminated by the parties on the basis that they haven't been able to perform for a period of more than 12 months.
Right, Michael, thanks so much for your time. We'll leave it there. And I suppose it goes without saying that if you're not sure, make sure that you've got the right legal advice to make things clearer for you. That's Michael Strowley, partner at Webber Wentzel.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app, and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.